thing that you normally hear from people is there's a three-bedroom home next door to them, and Friday night comes 22 people,
right,
or 16 people, or 18 people. Some communities, and I don't remember which one, that you can call complain, they will physically go out there, and if they're all, they'll make people leave right then and there on the spot. So
that can happen here as well.
That's, right?
So the process with the mercantile gets that information into our code office.
Mm-hmm.
Also gets it into our police department.
Right.
So they have access to that. So they can say, all right, we have a short-term rental,
yeah,
on the 600 block of Dudley Avenue. We have, you know, you get a complaint from a neighbor that there's 16 people,
yeah,
there. Oh, hey, look at this. It only has occupancy load for 10. So better PD can go over there and say, hey, look, guys, you got too many people staying here tonight.
Right.
You can't have them all here. And that's part of the enforcement.
So do we know? That's great. And this is what I want to go back to my committee with and the residents that come to our meetings, you know. And so knowing that, what I'm hearing from different people, and I haven't experienced it firsthand, but there's one particular person on Winchester Avenue who's come to me, because they come to me, and they said, like, we'll see 12, 14, 16 people in this three-bedroom property. So let's say that happens, they file a complaint, and it's justified, and it's confirmed that there was that, okay? Will that person then be fined?
Yes.
Okay, all right, okay.
Once it's proven through the process, they can pull the mercantile license. There's a fine that goes through that whole process. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And do you happen to know? So hypothetically, that person gets fined. And many of them, as I'm told from my other residents, you know, the people live in Pennsylvania, live in Delaware, and they've got the Airbnbs or whatever you want to call them, bed and breakfast, any short-term rental. So if they get a fine the first time around, and that happens again, do we have a fine now where it's going to be an increasing fine?
That is, I don't know what the number is, but yeah, I'm pretty sure they estimate it.
Yeah, in order to be up to the municipal court judge, actually.
Right.
In other words, they would get cited, they get a ticket.
Right.
And certainly, if the prosecutor wins at judge, this is their first rodeo, it's the second time around, we're asking for more than X amount. That usually happens, but that's up to the judge.
Well, I'm excited with the news. That's good news. I like that, you know, because, you know, we have to realize that the people that are doing that short-term rental are here for a weekend. They're here to have a good time. They're not thinking about the next-door neighbors. I'm a nocturnal person, usually up until 4 o'clock in the morning. Last night at 3 o'clock in the morning, out front of my home, was the car was radio blasting. So I screamed from my front porch, went down, and I opened, I watched, and there was two women sitting in the car with their smartphone, singing away with a song. You know, and I knocked on the window. They didn't even hear me. You know, I knocked on the window again, you know, and then I said, could you just put that down a little bit for me? And then they said, what did you say? So
Were they any good?
No, I don't think so. It was so loud I couldn't tell. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, I just want to thank you for one thing for being a touchstone for your community. I think it's adorable. I appreciate that.
I appreciate that. It's a pleasure. Believe me when I say
that. But it may help them to know that the police department has the non-emergency line, which they encourage people to use. Because normally what it is kind of what you said. It's the noise of people going in and out of cars.
Yeah.
When they're arriving or leaving, it becomes the impetus for people to have a complaint. And then in our experience, where people in the neighborhood feel as though the house is overcrowded, after we go in and find out maybe there's 5 bedrooms, or there's 10 people allowed,
yeah,
or there's 6 bedrooms in some cases, or 12 people are allowed. And when that home is repeatedly come to our attention, we'll actually send, when we know that it's being turned over, the police are happy to go there and explain to them, these are the rules,
mm-hmm,
of our town. We've had instances in the past where things have gotten out of hand. Thank you for joining Ventnor. We hope not to see you.
And some of the people have had these, for example, one on South Hillside, I live on North Hillside, the owners of the building went to the neighbors and said, listen, we're doing Airbnb. If you have, and they've never had a problem.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Most of them we have not had an issue with.
That's good. You know, so a resident could call in and speak to the building department to say, is this an Airbnb? And at least they would know that.
So we would hope they would do that because
we know we have
300. Let me finish.
No, I'm sorry.
So almost 300 of these, we do not have that many mercantiles in.
No.
So we don't know where they all are.
Okay, that's cool. That's
so
cool.
If your residents know where one is, please call Lisa.
Well, you know what happens, Lance? In taking some, I guess, complaint for myself is that people come and they say, "Want to come to my house? No, come to the meetings. Here I sit with four people tonight."
Yeah.
I mean, and when I used to come to the meetings, I mean, there were some controversial issues going on at one time or another, you know, and that brings the crowds out. Okay, I'm glad for that. I'll report that. One of my Richard Grover super duper special suggestions for the last 25 years is when you're relining the streets on Atlantic Avenue for the crosswalks, can we in the future get some thoughts to the crosswalks at the each intersection on Ventnor Avenue as well? Because it becomes a deterrent for people to that jaywalk. So if many of the communities, I think Margate, maybe even Longport, they're lined at every intersection. I mean, you know, it just encourages people. We have this crazy law in New Jersey. The pedestrian can walk out in front of the cars and the cars have to stop. You know, I mean, I don't know how people do that on Atlantic Avenue where there is four lanes right now. But at least just give that some thought because I've suggested it forever.
So we've applied for, and Mr. Rotella, who's not here anymore, we've applied for a Safe Street grant for the blocks in, I'm going to say, goes from Winchester, three or four blocks back towards the bridge on Ventnor Avenue to do just that. Traffic signals, streetscape, and that also includes...
Well, the project is going along well, and we're watching it. They're anxious for it to be...
It's a new one. It's on Ventnor Avenue.
Yes,
so we do another one there.
Good. So just a thought. I don't want to have people... I've seen people almost get hit. I don't know how in the world people just walk out in front of cars. I've never done that in my life. And but anyway, maybe the line thing is another. Next issue, and I'll get on your hair here. Obviously, the residents in all seashore communities are always nervous about parking in the summer, okay? I'm just curious. I'm excited about the movie theater. I tried to get that on the National Historic Registry many years ago. It was three votes short of having that happen. Frank's family hated me because what happened when the redevelopment battle stopped, they were under contract for about $1,400,000. The Franks family was for the gentleman who was buying some of the properties up. Just out of curiosity, did they ever think about putting them? I know they have a parking lot. I think it's going to hold 42 spaces. Somebody told me. I don't know how true that is. Any idea how many?
17.
Yeah, 17.
The parking lot in the back?
Yeah, 17.
17? Oh my God. Okay. That's even worse. But was there ever a discussion that they build a parking lot back there, a garage, where people, because that's where the neighbors are right now.
There's no room. Where?
Well, there was the back parking lot back there.
That's 17 spaces.
Just 17 spaces, was it? Really, that's a shock to me because it looks larger than 17 spaces, and I don't know how many seats.
They need to be...
Yeah, we get in and out. Yeah, okay, no problem. Last thing. Been a major issue that's come up recently, and that is 14 South Hillside Avenue. It was a little bungalow that was there. It was a little single family house.
This is under litigation. You can't.
So,
Mr. Gover, that's been in litigation, so we're not going to speak about that here.
All right, I will speak about that. No problem. Here's my question. Unrelated to that particular property.
Okay.
No problem. Keep it generic or different.
Thank
right?
You.
No problem. Thank you for pointing that out to me. The question I have is, we had a master plan some 25 years ago. They made what is more or less North Beach single-family residential neighborhood. And there was obviously a good deal of duplexes that were grandfathered in for many, many years before it became non-conforming use units and so forth. The question I have is that, I'm just curious, you have a master plan, you reviewed it, I think, a year or a year and a half ago, I don't know exactly when that was. There was no change. Single family dwellings in that area. So I'm curious, you have hypothetically, I don't know, 5, 10, 20 members of your planning and zoning board, and they recently take that single family dwelling and they allow it to become a duplex, okay? Or they're afraid, may keep this generic, we're afraid that we're gonna have many single family dwellings that are gonna be turned into duplexes. So we're nervous for that. We're nervous for the school situation, cost some $20,000, there's no guarantee it'll be a summer rental property, it could be full-time residents. So I don't know, you elect people or you appoint people to the planning and zoning board. I don't know if they ever speak to the council about anything, but I'm getting concerned that this is going to turn into duplex after duplex after duplex after duplex.
Well,
I'm curious your opinions.
Well, one thing that I can say is that 70% of the new construction in convener is done by people who's who considered as a second home. All the new construction that's happened and the uptick that you've seen, the majority of those are not full-time residents. 75% of those. And that's based on those are facts from our planning board.
Sure.
So every indication of that trend has begun and will continue in a short community like ours. Not to say that there's any guarantee, but that is a trend. And I think the other thing that you're pointing out is that there's single family homes with a legal apartment below, which is basically a duplex. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, this is more your space than mine.
Yes.
And there's an ordinance that was allowed between the time of the we feel is good planning that between the time of the master plan and now, that allows that single family home with a legal apartment, which constitutes a duplex, to be either renovated or turned into a legal duplex. So you're not adding any capacity of vehicles or bedrooms, you're changing the configuration, and you're bringing in a home that is within FEMA standards, which a lot of those homes aren't. I'm a big fan of the older homes in Ventnor, but some of them are just not upkept. Mm-hmm. And I think with the changes that you see in downtown Ventnor, it makes those homes that are in need of renovation, rather than blight, which in some cases they are, it makes them an opportunity for investment. And that's good for our values. So that's in short my opinion on that particular ordinance in your particular neighborhood.
Well, I had a property where I lived at 26 North Lakeside Avenue, and that particular property back, I'm going to guess at this, about 25 to 30 years ago, we had to be able to prove to the municipality that had been a previously used duplex and then became a duplex. That stopped happening after that. I don't remember exactly. No, but you can't go today and say this is a property that isn't zoned as a duplex now. You can't go in there and make that become a duplex. Okay, so that happened, the best of my knowledge. Maybe Tim may know about it, may not know about it. But what happened, the main concern that the residents are hearing, we love Ventnor, we don't want to see every little single family, every time I drive by one in the North Beach section and other, especially North Beach because they were the older section, you know, I always use the Benoit family's home, you know, as you, the next time when you're standing in front of the Wawa, go to the right, look at the big white house in the back over there, and the Benoit family were my poster child when I bought the redevelopment. And they had been there for 70 years. And if you walk around to see their front door, there's not a front door on their house. Their front door happens to be on the side of the house. Why was that? Because it was built in the late 1800s by the DuPont family and it was beach front, all the way from the Wawa to the beach, not another building in that area. So we're very concerned. We appreciate him what you're telling me about 75%. There are being secondary residences because I know it costs us some 20-some thousand dollars a year for a student to go to Lane City High School. And we're just concerned that it's going to open up a Pandora's box of every little tiny single family that you see there becoming duplexes. And the people they don't want that. The people there don't want it. And like you said, there is litigation to that other property. I believe it's going to continue, okay? And I don't know what's going to happen. But that's my own, I just think that if you have planning board members and you have a master plan, you revisited it, because did the council revisit the master plan? Is that how that happened?
If I could.
Go ahead, Jeff, please. Please, go ahead. Wrap up.
So I sit on the planning board, as does the mayor, has a designee. So I don't sit on that type of particular application, as a use variance. We're not allowed to sit on that as an elected official. So what each application, every application that comes before the planning and zoning board, rests on its own merits. So the application was presented, as is every one of them. And the board made a decision based on the facts of each individual case. Again, I wasn't there that evening because I can't sit on that. But they are aware of the master plan. Master plans are a guide. I've prepared them, done this my whole career. So they are a guide to guide municipalities in certain directions. They don't always fit every iota of every situation. So that's why you have variances. And they applied for that, and that's what was received in a lot of instances. We had four applications this last night. Two were by right, two needed relief.
So I'm sorry, what was it?
Two needed relief, variances.
Yes, sir.
They didn't comply with some certain section.
Yeah.
So that is something that, you know, it's either a hardship or it's a different type of variance, and I don't want to get into that tonight, but that's how these applications are heard, on their own merits. No matter what you did on the one before, it's a different situation here. Just to follow up on what Commissioner Kriebel talked about with the allowance of older duplexes to be torn down and rebuilt as a new duplex, that's only if they have what's known as, what you're referring to, the certificate of nonconformity.
Yeah.
So you've proven that at some time in the past, and it was continually used for the date you want to tear it down, as a two-unit dwelling. They're not all called duplexes. We have an odd definition of duplexes.
Mm-hmm.
It's either side by side or top and bottom, and one is a two-family, one is a duplex. We try to use the term two-family, because then it covers both. So if you have a two-family unit that existed prior to the zoning ordinance changes, you're allowed to demo that. If you can have your CNC, you can demo that and build a new duplex, which is a positive, because you get a newer structure. Again, sometimes you're going to lose those old homes, which I agree with Mr. Kriebel, that Commissioner Kriebel, that I love the older character of the homes.
Yeah.
Interspersed with some newer ones, okay. I don't want to see them all go away. So that's the reason for that is some of these were in such poor condition.
Case in point, the woman who's got a house on Avalon that was not saleable, really, who hadn't got it.
Yeah.
There's others like that.
And some of these apartments are below base flood elevation. You have a basement apartment.
Right.
Yeah. My home.
Right.
That had a basement apartment. I didn't keep it as one, so that's gone to me,
right.
Which I would never do. But that's...
I happen to think there's a few on Victoria Avenue now in the theater that the way they were designed, each owner of the duplex enters from one side of it, so the facade seems as though it's a single family, and even though it's a duplex, I happen to think that's an attractive way to get around it. But part of the Ventnor's character is its sort of variety of architecture. I wouldn't want to lose that. But, for instance, the house right behind us here was saved. It's going to be the people that bought that, the owners held out just because of that big white stucco house on the corner, because they knew those people were going to keep it as a single family home. But,
Tim, I'm always amazed when I hear the teardowns. No, it's, somebody buys that property, spends $250,000, and then tears it down and builds another one.
Sure.
I probably struggle simply with the argument that, well, this house really is ugly the way it is now. Now we want to build a duplex. So, courts will decide, and we're primarily, mainly concerned, we're afraid that, as you just said, it's a case-by-case thing. I wouldn't mind, they need 2 more feet of side, but they need to go 2 feet higher than you. But when you change the zoning from set 1 to 2, then that troubles me. But thank you very much for the time, and I appreciate having the opportunity here, and thank you for what you do.
Good seeing you again, and great comments tonight, Richard.
My
thank you for coming out.
Thank you.
Anyone else wishing to speak? Okay, seeing none, motion to close public.
Motion to close public 40.
Second, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, public comment is closed. Tim, do we need an executive session this evening?
We do not.
Okay. With that, I will ask for a motion for adjournment.
Motion for adjournment.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you all for coming out.
7:04.